it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 on Tuesday afternoon, September 16th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Credit scores are plunging. An expert joins us with tips on how to boost them quickly. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, there's a boatload of economic activity today, from trade to retail sales to home builder confidence. Also, the Fed is in play this week in a big way. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ben Shoesmith, senior economist with KPMG Economics in Chicago. Ben, thank you for joining us today. And let's start off, Ben, with the report on retail sales, a solid number for the month of August, but not equally distributed across the economic spectrum.
No, thank you so much for having me, Rob. And that's absolutely correct. A couple things really jumped out, I think, are the most interesting. The first is that we did see positive growth in auto sales, but it was a little bit slower than last month. And the second was pretty strong online sales. Now, on the auto sales front, this was carried a lot by fleet sales. They were actually up 25% year over year, a super strong number. And then EV sales as well, electric vehicles, that is, actually made up about a tenth of total new vehicle sales this month, or at least in the month of August. So those are both really strong numbers. That EV sales figure is likely to shrink as the year goes on, an expiration of a $7,500 tax credit for purchasing a new EV was the main driver of a lot of recent sales. With that expiring on October 1st, it's likely we'll see those sales start to slip. On the online sales front, according to the National Retail Federation, this was mostly carried by grocery being delivered to homes. Also, back-to-school sales were exceptionally strong. We also think there's still a lot of ordering by firms trying to get ahead of tariffs as they start to hit, trying to rebuild inventories. And so those have been really the two biggest, most interesting things we saw come out of the retail sales report.
Well, Ben, what's interesting about how this is not necessarily evenly distributed across the economic spectrum is that there are some shoppers for whom the pandemic stimulus is just a distant memory. They spent it a long time ago. It's gone, and they have to make budgets based on that current reality. But there are a lot of other people who are flush with cash, thanks to home equity, thanks to the run-up in the stock market, and people who are sitting on top of a lot of home equity and are sitting on top of some very flush and overflowing equity funds, they're the ones who are probably powering all the spending these days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, some really interesting work by Moody's has shown that about 50% of consumption is taking place in the top 10% of households, and about 80% the top 20% of households are also doing about 80% of consuming. And so there is this bit of a bifurcation appearing. Those that are able to swallow the possible increases coming from inflation will keep on spending no matter what price levels are. And that will effectively put a floor under prices, which will make it more challenging for those lower on the income spectrum to be able to keep up.
Now, that uneven or unequal distribution of outcomes, does that play into the Fed's math at all when they meet this week? The consensus is that they're going to cut by a quarter of a percentage point, the federal funds rate. But is that going to be taken under consideration when they make that decision?
I'm sure the Fed is watching it. You know, our group is actually forecasting the same as consensus for this meeting, a 25 basis point cut. But we also have two more cuts baked into our forecast this year. So three total in 2025 and then an additional six in 2026. And that actually puts us pretty far ahead of the market in terms of how many cuts we expect by the end of next year.
Ben Shoesmith, a senior economist with KPMG Economics in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up, credit scores are sliding nationwide. We'll get some expert advice on protecting and boosting yours.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Credit scores are falling at their fastest rate since the Great Recession, driven by missed payments and rising debt. Joining us to discuss and to share some advice on how to boost your scores now is Ted Rossman, industry analyst with Bankrate.com in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. And in the previous segment, Ted, we were talking about the report on retail sales and how the distribution, the who is buying what, is fairly uneven. And that is for a lot of shoppers who may have been flush with stimulus cash a couple of years ago, who took on a lot of debt to buy more stuff, and maybe they got a few raises along the way. Now they're getting into a little bit of trouble. And what are some things they can do to boost that credit score back to where it was?
The first step is to figure out where you stand. Go to annualcreditreport.com, pull your credit reports for free, see if there are any mistakes on there. You can also get free credit reports and scores from FICO and Experian, and a lot of banks offer these. Check in every once in a while, at least a few times a year. Some good ways to rebuild your score after a prior misstep include getting on someone else's card as an authorized user, so maybe getting on a parent or spouse's credit card. If they use credit responsibly, that will translate to you as an authorized user. You could also sign up for alternative monitoring systems, things like Experian Boost and eCredible Lift. These will pull in certain utility and streaming and rent payments. They haven't historically counted in credit scoring, but you can get those included once you opt in, and that can help your score.
What are some of the biggest drivers, though, of these that are pulling credit scores down? Is it people missing car payments? Is it people missing their credit card payments? Or is it a bunch of student loan borrowers who were affected by the pause being switched off earlier this year?
About one in three student loan borrowers are behind on payments, many of them seriously behind. So student loans are definitely an issue. We also see elevated delinquency rates for credit cards, auto loans, and personal loans. All four of those categories, student loans and those other three, those are all at or near recent highs since the Great Recession. You know, very high delinquencies on a lot of those products. That's what's driving a lot of the degradation in credit scores recently is people falling behind on payments.
And then when it comes to shoring up your credit score, we talked about a couple of strategies, but one thing that we talk about an awful lot is just ways that you can manage your credit card debt if you are carrying a balance. And one way to do that in a very easy and quick fashion is to get that low interest, no balance transfer fee credit card, and then pay it off during the promotional period.
Yep. The rules of the road with credit scoring are basically pay on time, keep your debts low, show that you can manage various types of credit successfully over the long haul. So anything you can do to bring credit card and other debts down is a good thing. I love the 0% balance transfer idea. Sometimes it's even a simpler fix. A lot of people don't realize that even if they pay their credit cards in full every month, that's a great way to avoid interest, but it still may show as hefty utilization on your credit report because it's usually the statement date that determines how much you owe divided by your credit limit. Some people have a very high number there. It's often said to keep this below 30%. Below 10% is even better. So in other words, throw in an extra mid-month payment or two on your credit card. Make that statement balance as low as possible relative to the credit limit. Even people with otherwise good financial habits can be dragged down by high utilization. So pay those credit cards maybe even more than once a month if you can.
Ted Rossman, industry analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, United Airlines outpaces rivals in expanding its footprint.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
United Airlines is expanding flights faster than its rivals, with the CEO crediting loyal customers, upgraded technology, and premium amenities for fueling growth. Joining us to discuss is Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. University in Chicago, and just fresh off his appearance on At Issue last Sunday. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And just want to tell you, on Sunday morning, a fellow parent came up to me at the early flag football game and said they heard our discussion on At Issue on Sunday morning. And her takeaway was, oh, great, more airplanes over my house, because she lives in the Northwest Side. And I'm guessing this segment is not going to do anything towards alleviating that frustration, because more planes, specifically more United planes, will be taking off from O'Hare before too long.
That's exactly right. Specifically O'Hare as opposed to Midway. So we're just seeing that continuing surge at O'Hare. And as your friend mentioned, it's a bit boom time out there right now. United especially, American's also growing. But the latest numbers that United is going to have 5.7 more seats in the fourth quarter than the year before is a bit of an eye popper. It's a surprise.
And it seems like United is going in for the kill for Spirit Airlines. Spirit Airlines is still flying, but their future is very much in doubt. And it seems like United wants to be there if and when Spirit elects to stop flying.
You know, that's right. United's been really bullish around the whole U.S., but particularly Chicago. And when Spirit had their problems, and recall that they're in a deep financial problem, mid-bankruptcy, United sort of announced that they're going to try to fill the void and provide protection in case Spirit has to ground itself. Now, Spirit pushed back on that, felt that was a little bit over the top with United positioning itself as sort of a plan B. But it clearly it sees that ultra discount segment that Spirit caters to, they're ready to handle. That back cabin on United has been a little weaker than the premium seats, so they're really being aggressive price-wise.
What does that mean for the Southwest beachhead at O'Hare? I mean, obviously, Southwest owns Midway Airport practically, but they have that small outpost at the very end of Terminal 5 at O'Hare, and would that force Southwest to rethink its O'Hare plans?
You know, O'Hare's really an interesting place with that big expansion on Terminal 5. So many new gates out there. We have Delta and Southwest in particular that are making some moves. But Southwest did pull back a bit. And I think they're finding that it's just really tough to compete with United American with their high frequencies. And now the new Southwest business model is very similar. So Southwest doesn't offer a whole lot of differentiation in terms of the flexibility they had before. So they don't seem to be ready to make another push at O'Hare. They still have a good operation, but they've become more conservative, I think, in response to Wall Street pressure.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday. Traveling with little ones can be challenging, but preparation can help parents and kids enjoy a smoother flight.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are mixed this afternoon. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And now we're playing the old waiting game, Jeff, until tomorrow afternoon when Fed Chair Jerome Powell comes down from the mountaintop and tells us that interest rates may be cut by a quarter of a percentage point.
That's right, Rob. And we're waiting to see if the Federal Reserve will again resume their interest rate cutting campaign. If you remember, they did cut rates before the election last November, and they've been on pause ever since, hoping and waiting for inflation to come down. However, we see the S&P 500 again today at a new record all-time high. For those keeping score out there, Rob, the S&P 500 is 40% higher from those Liberation Day lows back in April. So if you've stayed invested, if you've been listening and finding stocks that really work in your portfolio, you've been rewarded. So right now we anticipate 25 basis points tomorrow. It'd be a big surprise if the Federal Reserve came out with a 50 basis point rate cut, but we do have expectations for three consecutive rate cuts, 25 bips, 25 bips, 25 bips to the end of the year. And that is going to help the consumer and the home builders, because we have seen the housing slog of homes on the market. When you see those rates come down, that's going to help the consumer bigger picture. But right now, there's still cautious optimism all over Wall Street.
And then when we talk about some complicating factors in the Fed's decision making, does this most recent report on retail sales, could that potentially knock the Fed off its course? Or at this point in time, if a quarter point or a 25 basis point cut has been telegraphed, you don't want to pull away from that?
I don't think they move away from their telegraphed message of cutting rates, but what's really kind of disturbing is some of the BLS data, some of the jobs data that's been provided over the last year, year and a half, has been revised down. We've talked about these massive downward revisions. We're talking about 1.5 million jobs that just kind of disappeared in these recent downward revisions. If you think about it, Rob, one of the main inputs going into the Fed policy is maximum employment. So that's a very challenging needle to thread for Fed Chairman Powell. He's doing the best he can. However, will he try and get out in front of the fact that they're behind the curve because of these 1.5 million jobs that have now seemingly disappeared from 2024? So there's a lot of challenges out there. However, lower rates do soothe and heal a lot of these issues. But I do get a little concerned about some of the dislocation. You continue to see sector, S&P 500 sector dispersion, and it's interesting, industrial still working.
And then when it comes to the NASDAQ, we do have some action, especially when it comes to Oracle, shares gaining 4%. We talked about this yesterday on the Noon Business Hour, that Oracle is reportedly one of the finalists that will allow TikTok to continue operating in the United States. Sooner or later, Jeff, the Ellison family will just be in charge of all video content that you see. Paramount, CNN, TikTok. Yeah, they'll have their finger in every pie, but it's also very good for Oracle right now, at least as far as investors are concerned.
It is great for Oracle. And what's interesting, last week in the earnings, which really moved Oracle higher, well above $300 on that 30% pop, nearly 40% pop, was due to the fact of the backlog, the demand, nearly $500 billion of demand. So that's fascinating. Oracle is actually one of our largest holdings, our largest weighting in the Essential 40 ETF, ticker ESN. So we get excited about owning that. But what's interesting, Robin, you brought it up, there is a bit of a rotation inside this magnificent seven names. So you're seeing NVIDIA sell off a little bit. You're seeing the Googles. You're seeing some of these other names. Even Tesla has just been skyrocketing higher. So there's a rotation as we're seeing this AI, this artificial intelligence trade, broaden out. And that provides me a little bit of optimism that we're seeing this broaden out, meaning markets can continue to move higher.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, family trips with babies and toddlers. They don't have to be chaotic with the right planning.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Pre-Flight Airport Parking. Traveling with babies and toddlers can be tough, but with proper planning, the experience can be smoother for everyone. Joining us with some suggestions is Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com, based in Chicago. Cindy, thank you for joining us today. And boy, this brings back a lot of memories, Cindy, of when we took our kids on an airplane for the very first time. Our oldest, who's going to turn 12 in just a couple of weeks, she flew for the very first time shortly before her first birthday, and she was a champ. And the way she was a champ all the way down to Orlando was that we packed a lot of snacks, and that could be your secret weapon when traveling with babies and toddlers.
Absolutely. Your first trip or any trip on an airplane with kids is not the time to be stingy about snacks or about the electronics. So load up the iPad with the movies they like, buy them some kid-friendly headphones, because even if they're kids, they're not going to be able to watch the iPad with the movie up on so everyone can hear it. So buy them some kid-friendly headphones and have them practice with the headphones before you leave home so they think they're cool and they can use them. You don't want to be on the plane and have your kid throw a temper tantrum because he doesn't want to put the headphones on, and then the flight attendant says you can't watch the movie.
Absolutely. Think of if you are a parent of very young children, imagine planning for a flight much in the same way that the astronauts would prepare for a trip to the space station. You have to rehearse everything ahead of time, and yes, you have to make sure that if you're downloading movies, make sure they are actually on the iPad and not only in the cloud accessible with Wi-Fi, because once you're on the airplane, either you're stuck or you're paying for the Wi-Fi, and that's an $8 you'd rather not spend. And also, yeah, you're right, practice how the headphones work so they know how to use them before they're in the air.
Absolutely. And tell them what it's like to go through TSA. It can be a scary prospect for adults. So if you're three and you're going through that big scary machine, it can be really scary. If they're babies, it's a little easier because you just carry them through TSA. You have to put the stroller and all of that paraphernalia through the x-ray machine. And you know what? Actually, TSA does a really great job with families. You can go on their website and you get a lot of information about traveling with kids. If you have special needs kids, they have special accommodations for them. So you can go on the TSA website and get a lot of information about traveling, especially with little ones. And the thing a lot of people don't understand or know is that you can bring infant formula and breast milk through as long as you let TSA know what it is. They recommend you put it in glass bottles rather than bags or things like that. It's easier for them to analyze it through their machine. And the other thing that people don't think about when they're traveling with babies on a plane is you got to figure out the diaper thing. We have a whole story by one of my amazing writers on She Buys Travel that tells you everything you need to know about changing diapers on a plane. She's done it through four kids and she is an expert. And there are a lot of things in there that you wouldn't think of, but the two that I want your listeners to know is bring large Ziploc bags. They're your friend for locking in all of those odors that nobody wants to smell, including you and definitely your neighborhood passengers. And don't ever, 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 please, please don't ever change your baby on the seat back tray table. And yes, people do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are probably a million stories about people doing what they have to do on the airplane, especially if their infant needs to be changed. But that's a very good suggestion, and we will steer people to She Buys Travel to make sure that they get the full rundown on how they can change a diaper on the airplane without offending their fellow passengers and without changing the baby on the tray table. But I felt, though, that I thought my kids became seasoned travelers and passed with flying colors when 3 years ago we were stuck on the tarmac at O'Hare for about 90 minutes. We were waiting for our gate to open up. The kids were great. They were quiet. They just kept watching their movie on the iPad the entire time. It was another adult on the plane who had a very hard time with waiting 90 minutes. So I'm like, great. A second grader managed this delay much better than an adult, and I think they earned their wings that day.
It happens, I'll tell you. It definitely happens. Snacks and movies work with kids. Unfortunately, they don't always work with adults.
Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, Meta is set to debut its latest model of smart glasses, a device it spent many years and a lot of money developing.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Facebook parent Meta poured billions into virtual reality with very little success. Now it's betting big on smart glasses. We welcome and Matt Wren, tech expert and founder of VRAR Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And a long, long time ago, before we talked about AI and before we talked about cryptocurrency, we talked about augmented reality and augmented reality glasses. And that was going to be the next game changer in tech. And that and Meta, Facebook, made such a bold bet on augmented reality that it changed the name of the company to reflect its new mission statement. And so now it has a new type of augmented reality glasses. They're called Hypernova. They'll include a display and cost about $800. What is Hypernova, and could this potentially be the game changer?
Thanks for having me back, Rob. Well, I think Hypernova is actually the internal name. I don't think they've actually publicly announced what the actual product name is going to be. But Hypernova is sort of a step between the Ray-Ban smart glasses that we're seeing out in the market today and the Orion AR glasses that they previewed at MetaConnect last year. And so it's not, you know, these are not supposed to be the end of, you know, what's been coming for years, and this is going to be the end-all solution. This is a step along the way, but basically it's the Ray-Ban Meta glasses, but with a heads-up display, with giving you some basic functionality, things like navigation, possibly texting, possibly some basic interactions with AI.
And then this has represented a long journey and a lot of money spent in bringing this vision, no pun intended, to reality. And how could it potentially impact the business of Meta?
Well, I mean, if you look back, Meta Reality Labs, while they, a lot of people, I see articles all the time about how much money they've spent at Meta Reality Labs and how they've made all these massive investments into VR and AR and billions and billions of dollars poured into this technology with, as people always say, quote unquote, no return. They pretty much own the market. In the VR, you know, in terms of virtual reality headsets, approximately somewhere between 80%, possibly more, of the virtual reality headsets that are available on the market today are Meta. So they pretty much dominate that market. They own it. When it comes to the smart glasses, which is the Meta Ray-Bans, and now the new one that's coming out. Honestly, the thing that I'm most excited about is that wristband controller. I've been waiting to see that actually hit the market ever since Meta acquired that company back in 2019. But as much as people are talking about how they're pouring all this money in and waiting to see a return on it, they own this market right now. There's really not a lot of competitors, and the market's being recognized, and at least enough that Google and Apple are starting to pour a lot of money into it too, because they're recognizing, hey, with these Ray-Ban glasses, they were more successful than people actually expected. There's the partnership now with Oakley to put out a different form factor. I believe they're actually going to come out with a new form factor, potentially, looking more like the Oakley Blades. So, yeah, there's been a lot of money into this, but they're also starting to see some return on that, in that they own this market, and other competitors are starting to recognize that there is actually a market there.
Matt Wren, tech expert and founder, VRAR Chicago in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.